Welcome to Live the Fuel.
Welcome to Live
Welcome
the Fuel.
To Live the Fuel. Focusing on health, business, and lifestyle. And now your host, Scott Mulvaney.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another Live the Fuel show. Today's co-host is a gentleman that I've recently gotten connected with. He hails from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, which, by the way, I just got back from a business trip there from last night, so very fresh on the connections here. But we have physically not met yet. He's a connection that I made through some just online networking. He and I are connected through a bunch of different people, and we'll probably talk about on today's show. But this guy is an amazing photographer as well as an entrepreneur. And a new book author, which we're all also going to be talking about. That's going to be coming soon to an online website near you. But he, like I said, he comes from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I know he's gone to Ohio University. I'm a Penn Stater, so I think we have some rivalry. But let's go ahead and bring him on. Today's co-host is Vincent Puglisi.
How you doing, buddy?
Doing well. Yourself?
I'm doing wonderful.
So did I... I nailed the name.
You nailed the name. You are one of the few.
Yeah. Obviously, it took a little coaching from you after we met. So
you got it right away.
Yeah, and just so the listeners know, if you ever wanted to Google this guy, I'm just going to go ahead and spell it. It's P as in Peter, U as in Umbrella, G as in George, L as in Larry, I, E as in Edward, S as in Sam, E as in Edward. So again, write that down and then try and say it.
It's a good challenge.
It
Nobody
is.
Nobody gets it.
So we'll definitely have to work on, I'm sure you're probably working on that with your branding, because you don't have to, you're not going to want people trying to remember that name.
Yeah, it's hard.
But let's catch us up on some things. I mean, you and I just talked on the phone the other night. I got to learn so much more about you. I think we really hit it off. I'm just going to go ahead and say that. So
yeah,
I love everything that I'm hearing that you got going on here. So I just want to jump right into real quick here is, what's happening? You have this new book coming out.
Yeah.
And so I'm just going to hit right to the meat and potatoes here, and then we'll get into some more fun stuff here on our lifestyle discussions from the other night. But why the book?
The book was completely unexpected, which is probably the most fun part about it. It won't be coming out till 2017, sometime in the spring, through Morgan James Publishing, and it's called Freelance to Freedom. And it was a book that just was in my head for about 3 years. I wrote notes on it. I just kept writing ideas, and finally my wife just said to me, she goes, you keep talking about it. You need to sit down and start writing this book. And I think I would say 90% of the population is probably in the same boat of they have a book in their head, but they don't know how to start. They don't know where to go. So
right.
I basically took her challenge and I got started, and it was about a 7-month process, and things are just in a different mode right now. Things are flying along.
So the wife challenged you for this, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. She got tired of me talking about it and doing nothing about it. So she called me out.
Now you actually have a business together. You're co-owned, right?
Yep.
So yeah, we have Elizabeth Vincent years. Photography.
That's it. Yeah. 12 years we've been in business. And even before that, we worked for a newspaper in Indiana together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We met in college in my second semester there at Ohio University. We started dating pretty much right away. And we graduated a year and a half later, and were fortunate to land staff photographer jobs in newspapers, which is rare now, together in the same newspaper.
Wow.
So everything lined up perfectly for us.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And then now, obviously, what made you to decide to, I guess, start the photography business together? I mean, I love the fact that I went with Elizabeth Vincent, because you guys can show up in the government world, there's advantages to have a woman-owned business. So
there is, and we haven't taken advantage of it like people said we should.
Oh.
We really haven't.
Okay.
It was just something where it sounded better, and she's better than I am. So, you know, we said Elizabeth Vincent, we said Vincent Elizabeth, and we said, no, let's go with that. And so that's where it was. It was a pretty simple decision. There wasn't a whole lot of meetings to it. It's one of those just, you know, groundswell type of things. We just started it, and it stuck.
Go with what flows.
Yeah. And it started out of desperation. I mean, really, we were, you know, I worked in New York as a freelance photographer back in the 90s. I worked for the Associated Press and Newsday, the World Wrestling Federation. I traveled around with them, the NHL. I did a lot of sports. And I went back to school to OU to get a journalism degree, and thinking that was the path in, which worked really. It was a fantastic school. I mean, I have nothing but great things to say. We met there, graduated in 2000, and got a job together, and which was ideal. But in 2005, I mean, if you follow the newspaper world at all, it started crumbling. And it was the same year that Elizabeth got pregnant with our first son.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And we made, you know, we made newspaper money. We loved our job, but we were making low to around $30,000 a year each.
Yeah, it's not a highly paid position. I know a few people that have done photojournalism majors from Penn State, and they were like, yeah, you don't get into it to make a lot of money.
You don't get into it for money, no. But you do it because you love it, and we both. It was our dream. It was our dream. It wasn't about money. But what happened was, and I used to travel with the NFL with them, which was what I loved doing. You know, I covered a couple of Super Bowls and all that type of stuff. But when Elizabeth got pregnant with our first son, you know, the rubber hit the road, and we were like, we got to do something, because she wanted to stay home with Andrew or be home. Our schedules were really tough. And I had just won International Sports Photographer of the Year. It was the biggest award that I could win in this tiny, you know, this small paper. And you know, between that and the baby, everybody told me, you're going to get a big jump in your salary. And I went into my boss's office and I got a 3% raise. And he said, I did everything I could for you. You're the only one that got a raise. Everybody else was getting, for the most part, everybody else was getting nothing, but that's the best they could do. And I said to him, and I'll never forget, I said, you know, no matter how hard I work, no matter how many awards I win, no matter what, and I just stopped myself, because I knew it would never change. If I could do all that at this turning point in our life and we still got nothing, I just knew, you know, we're going to be 65. And those grumbly journalists that just stuck with it and just, you know, they complained the whole time, because I saw it. I just saw it. And I said, that can't be us.
No, I can't. So, I mean, you reach a point, which is, I'm hearing from you right now. It's like you reach a point where what you love only takes you so far. In the end, you still have to be able to build a sustainable lifestyle. You still have to be happy. And if it gets to the point where it's ruining what you love, that's scary, because like, you don't want to lose that.
It's frightening, and more scary about than what I love was we had a baby on the way.
That's a big expense.
It's not even the expense. It's the expense, but mentally, I'm like, is this what I want to be for my kids, for my family? I'm making $15 an hour doing something I love, and we're in some serious debt with a house and student loans. And are we going to – it's just that, you know, you become an adult very quickly. It's not just the job anymore. So I walked out, and I called my dad that day, and he's helped me through some really tough times. And I asked him to work for him. I said, he had a job. He has his own business that I worked for when I lived back in New York. And he told me flat out, he said, you can't help. He said, you haven't done this for 10 years and I'd have to retrain you. And you're in Indiana. It's like, so my safety net that I thought, you know, I could make some extra money was not there.
Yeah. I heard you talk about that on, and this is for our audience. This is how I got connected with Vincent, is because, episode 001 on my show was with Michael O'Neill of the Solopreneur Hour. And he's another podcaster, very successful for entrepreneurs. So this is obviously, if you're picking up what Vincent and I are talking about right now, there's a lot of buildup here for, hey, wake up call. Maybe some entrepreneurship is coming in here. But you talked about this. And actually, the one thing I didn't get out of that episode was, what was your dad's business?
Oh, he does rebarb contracting. He designs buildings and the infrastructure to different buildings, how they're built up.
Oh yeah, you can't just drop yourself into that.
No, but I would do the menial work for him.
Okay.
I wouldn't do any smart work.
That's something that you obviously did not go into the family business for a reason. That's not what you wanted to do. So yeah. That took some cojones to go back to your dad and ask for help like that. So
I think it was more desperation than guts. Okay. It really was. I had nothing. I didn't have anything else to fall back. I had not set myself up for success. I had nothing else to fall back on, and it was an easy crutch. And he called me out, not in a mean way, in a dad way, where he said, this isn't for you. And he goes, you didn't like it when you worked here the first time. And I said, I had to admit, you know, it was just for the money.
Right.
And he said to me, he goes, you can't do this. He said, you have to start your own business. He goes, you have something in your photography. He says, you are really good at it. You're passionate. You're just not using it in the right way.
How cool is that your dad smacked that right back in your face?
It's still one of those things that I think about. Even now, as we are doing a transition towards the writing and coaching that we do now, in terms of, you know, the experience that we've learned that we now help other people with, we're in that transition now. Not that we're leaving the photography behind, because we're fortunate to have that as well. But that's where we're at right now, where you have to say to yourself, you know, what is it you want to do? How, you know, what are your talents, and how can you? I've been coaching people for 10 years, just I wasn't getting paid for it. I would help them. And that's how this kind of started. But with what he said to me, it really opened my eyes, because I never wanted to be a wedding photographer. You know, I never wanted to be an independent, you know, commercial. I never wanted to do that. I wanted somebody to pay me to take pictures.
Right.
I didn't want to do the business part of it. And I think so many photographers line up there. So he just woke me up. And
What surprised me was the fact that your dad, a lot of people's dads aren't, dads or moms, parents in general, that doesn't always happen. Usually people are like, you know, you belong in the business, let go of that crazy dream or that silly thing that you're doing or whatever. So that's interesting that he recognized the entrepreneurial benefit. I mean, he's definitely a wise man.
Yeah, he is. And I came from a family where my mom had a good job, but it was a stable job. So my mom was very much like benefits, you know, security. That's what she believed in. And it worked for him. My dad, you know, he went through a lot of rough business times, but he'd worked for people, but he had his own business. So I saw both sides of it. And I love the idea of doing my own thing, but I was always too scared to do it. And I had that with my dad also. When I was 11, I'll never forget, me and my brother were watching TV and a car commercial came on TV. And we were both ooning on about this car. And he walks over to the TV and he turns it off. And he tells us both to sit on the couch. And we're like, okay. And he goes, just matter of factly, we're not buying you a car. I was 11. We are not going to buy you a car. If you're going to want a car, you're going to work for it. You're going to earn it. You're going to pay for it yourself. Just so you know that. And it wasn't a money thing while he was saying it. It was a teachable moment thing where he knew that if we can earn the money ourselves, we're going to become more self-sufficient and we're going to appreciate the car more. And even though I trashed my first two cars, I did appreciate it more because it was my car.
You and I have more in common than I realized on our phone call. My dad said the same exact thing.
Did he really?
Yeah. No one in our family. Well, I think my sister a couple of times as she got older, ended up getting a little bit of help here and there. But as far as my brother and I, nope. I wasn't even allowed to get my license unless I had the money saved for the car and the first year's worth of car insurance.
Mm-hmm.
That was my dad's rule.
It's so great. It's just good parenting. And I don't want to make the sound. I don't think he sounds bad in the way I'm saying this, but my dad's very generous. And if we needed something, he's there. But there's a difference between need and want and just learning.
And there, you know? Like you said, that's a lesson. There's something being taught there. It's not punishment.
Yep.
It wasn't. You need to understand the value of a dollar, and that you can't just be handed everything.
Yeah, because how are you setting them up? Are they going to be 22 living in your basement and, you know, playing video games because they never learned how to earn money or just what the hard knocks that comes with it? And so that was a big lesson. And he did it again with me, with the newspaper. And I just basically took his advice and I didn't argue or disagree. I just listened and I started calling wedding photographers. I figured that's the quickest way we can make money with our skills.
I hear that. I hear that a lot.
And we never wanted to do it. You know, we're too good for that. We're journalists. We don't do weddings. That was my goal, was to never shoot weddings and to never wear a tie. I had two goals. And those were both of them.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't like ties anymore.
Yeah, me neither. So I started calling different wedding photographers around town and they all said no, because either for basically they didn't want to come in, train somebody to take their business away. And I got that. So we basically started on our own. We said, okay, let's try this. And there was really no net. We had a baby coming and Elizabeth, you know, it wasn't going to work well with both of our schedules on our odd times. So, you know, when you have to make it work, you make it work.
Well, and you have to admit something you said only a few seconds ago, you were hinting about, you didn't want to do the wedding stuff and you're a journalist, but there's an art to photography. There's as I hear, there's an eye for that talent. And my girlfriend's sister-in-law, she became a photographer. She's wife, a mother, at-home mother, but she's obviously raising two children. But she just loved taking photographs. But now she's been taking classes, and she now is a paid baby photographer. Like, she started her own business. I helped her get her website off the ground and stuff like that. So,
awesome.
And I told her the importance of branding and building that value behind herself, and also the importance of niching yourself. So even though you didn't want to do weddings, there was still the development of that eye and that skill set, which to this day, you guys still do weddings according to your website.
Yeah.
So it definitely turned into obviously a marketable skill set.
Well, what we learned, and that's absolutely spot on what you just said. But what we learned was, and I think so many entrepreneurs or freelancers or whatever it is, they have this and they don't realize it, is I don't want to call it a skill. It's a developed skill. I didn't start, everybody goes, oh, you're so talented. And I said, no, I'm not. I said, nobody told me in my first 3 years of shooting that I had any talent. Nobody ever said, oh, you're so talented. Like, why didn't I make any money in my first three? Because I didn't have a talent. It's a developed skill. And so, you know, some people have natural talent. You could see a five-year-old on the piano. Some people have that. It's rare. Most talent is natural, is developed skill, in my opinion. So I bristle at that a little bit. Like, no, it took me this. It took everybody a long time to get there.
Well, yeah. Think about this. When you started this business, obviously the initial market target was, well, we know there's, I mean, everybody knows that. I know I'm not a photographer. I'm like, there's always money in weddings because people need quality photographers. And there's some really bad wedding photographers. And I just heard that like literally last weekend from my girlfriend's sister-in-law because she was venting about some very bad photographs that her cleaning lady had showed her about from that woman's wedding. And she took it so personally. It's crazy how passionate you become when you develop that skill and you get better at it. And she was very passionate. I'll just say that.
Yeah. But, and there's something to that. Yeah.
But with you developing your skill, like you didn't always think that you'd be shooting a Super Bowl.
No.
Or Stanley Cup Finals or the Kentucky Derby. You know, I mean, like that's all stuff that just came over the years.
Yeah. Yeah. It was something. Well, what my thing was when I first started, I'm not sure if I told the story at all, if you heard it. I was 22 and I told Michael this, I'm pretty sure. I was going nowhere.
I love this story. I heard it on his show, but I definitely want to hear it on this show.
Yeah. I was 22 and I never did well in school. I mean, I literally found out the day before graduation that I was graduating high school. I never took anything seriously. I just messed around with my friends and partied and I figured something would always work out. And it's a pretty dumb way to think, but I always really was kind of confident in that. And it wasn't going to be school. I knew high school. Just to let you know, I'm in the arts now and I cut my art class 89 times out of 92 classes when I was a junior in high school. And they actually came up with a new rule because of me. That my name still lives on in Roslyn High School in New York because I cut class almost every class. And I think I passed. I'm not sure. I never paid attention. But you know, and I'm in the arts now, which is pretty funny. But so no, I never.
Everybody's got different learning styles too. I didn't always learn everything in my classes, so this is real life stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And so what happened was, by 5 years later, I was going nowhere. I was working at a convenience store. I was a thief. I had been arrested for stealing. And with my dad, to go back 10 years earlier, I literally had a nightmare about getting caught stealing. And I woke up in a cold sweat and I went downstairs and I was just, what am I doing with my life? I'm working at a convenience store. It's terrible what I've become. And my dad came downstairs and I said to him, I said, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. And he said, he very simply said, well, you like taking pictures. You like sports. You like traveling. Why don't you take a photography class? And I was like, I'd taken so many bad jobs that it actually sounded cool. But I had no confidence in myself that I said, well, at least it sounds cool. I said, I'm going to fail. I know I'm going to fail, but at least I'll fail trying something that's cool. That was literally my thought that night. And I started that day. I went and I bought a camera the next day and I went to Nassau Community College and I signed up for classes. And I finally had a dedication to something. And it was the first time I put effort into something in my life.
Well, you actually, the most important part here was you took action. You just sit there and wallow in your own self-misery. I'm sorry. Sometimes I really get really aggressive on that point because there's so many people I hear complaining and they bitch and moan. And I'm like, listen, man, this is your life.
Mm-hmm.
Freaking seize it. Now, we have our, sometimes, obviously, if somebody's going through depression or something like that, those are some extremes. But in the most cases, it's simply, if you're not happy, take action.
And I love action. It. And some sort, and I really believe, and even throughout the weaving of this book, every great story with myself or anybody that I've talked to comes from trying times. Nobody really gives a crap about the guy that, graduates with a 4.0, gets a, six-figure job and buys a really great car and everything's easy. Nobody's going to go watch that movie. So if you have a challenging story, that's what I love hearing is how you get out of it. And it weaves throughout your life. I had a situation where for 18 years, one of my career dreams was a 2-page spread in Sports Illustrated. That was just the thing that I wanted, just as a notch. And I never got it. I came real close. I came within one photograph. I had submitted a picture of a Tennessee Titans guy getting kicked in the head during a game. And I submitted it, and it came in fourth. out of they picked three pictures for the leading off. Mine was number four. Came that close. Then I quit the newspaper, and it never happened. But years later, 3 years ago, I had and you talk about health a lot. I had a sciatic pain where I couldn't walk. This went on for 4 months.
How old were you?
This was 4 years ago. I was 40. And we hadn't, you know, this fits in well. I had a pinched nerve in my back, a disc problem. So it ran all the way down my leg. This went on for 4 or 5 months. And there were days, weeks I couldn't walk. Well, I got assigned from Getty Images to photograph a Pittsburgh Penguins game. And I went to the game and I could not move. So literally from the parking lot to the street, I'd have to stop. Almost like a 95-year-old guy that has all the pain. That's literally how bad it got. It was so bad that I couldn't walk back to the photo room to transmit in between periods. It was, I was sweating. I couldn't, you know, and the other thing is I left my batteries at home because I was in so much pain. I packed up my camera. I brought the wrong camera. One was broken. And I brought no batteries because I couldn't even think straight that morning when I woke up after a wedding. I hope I'm telling the story well because I hadn't planned on talking about it. But so I was completely unprepared. Everything was going wrong. I couldn't move. I was in so much pain. And at the end of the game, the Penguins won. And usually as a photographer, you go back to transmit. But I was in so much pain that I sat in my spot for next a few minutes. And at hockey games, they do the three stars at the end of the game. And they turn the lights out. They do the spotlight. And the first star of the game was Sidney Crosby from the Penguins. So I said, I might as well shoot this. This is kind of cool. I'm in pain. So I shot a couple pictures. And he actually turned right towards me, flung his stick in the air, and went inside. And it was the last picture I transmitted that day. And I didn't think about it. I went home and I rested, started recovering some more. And 3 months later, I get an email from my editor congratulating me. And I said, for what? And he said, your Crosby picture is 2-page spread in an article about Sidney Crosby in Sports Illustrated. So without all that pain, if I would have been a normal day, I would have went back and transmitted, never shot that picture. So one of the most painful physical moments of my life led to one of my biggest career accomplishments.
Well, and I think that helps remind people that you can't plan for everything. And no. Sometimes life is going to crap on you, and you just got to keep pushing through. You got to wade through the crap. I'm sorry. I used to find ways to soften the blow sometimes, and I just realized my coaching style is I'll get right to the point, and if people either like that or they don't. So that's just part of my niche. But because I think too many of us are – I don't know, tiptoeing through a lot of things in life. And it's like, guys, just rip the lid off, man. Get after it. If you're in pain, it sucks, but push through.
It's hard for a lot of people. And I'm fortunate to be, you know, there's certain personality types. And I've had to learn this the hard way that, you know, you and I, we're wired a certain way. There's no doubt. And I think in some ways it's easier when you're wired this way because it's a little bit more, I don't want to say abrasive, but you're a little bit more proactive in certain things.
Try to be.
If you do a disc profile, like I'm a D&I. Like I am that. I know my personality. And a lot of,
Let me stop you there. Hey guys, yeah. In case you're listening and you don't know what a disc profile is, could you please define?
Oh, you want me to define?
Yeah.
I wish I could. It's a personality profile.
That's all I'm saying. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Because there's so many different ways to do self-analysis nowadays, and people do all these different tests, and that's actually a very good personality test to have done if you haven't done one yet. So
it really is. So I learned who I was, and it was funny because like there's the positives and the negatives, and as my wife, Elizabeth, started reading down, she's like, yep, that's you. She was just laughing, and she just thought maybe, you know, that was just me, but then you realize that's an actual personality style. It's mm-hmm. not just a person. And once we figured that out and her personality and mine, our relationship improved so much. Once we learned that, it wasn't just her doing this or me doing this. This is kind of our personality. So we accept certain things better than we used to since we did that. So that was a shameless plug for a disc, which I make no money from. So
neither do I. But I will tell you, I'll add another shameless plug to that because I think this is a powerful book. And our mutual friend, Michael O'Neill, the Solopreneur Hour podcast, also talks about this. But have you read Strengths Finder 2.0?
Yeah, I have a few years ago. It's right? Fantastic. Yes.
Great book. Yeah. So do the personality analysis. And then if you're into that whole horoscope thing, check that out too. And then also do the Strengths Finder 2.0. And then look at all the results and see how things can actually overlap. The weird thing is that I literally have seen stuff overlap from the horoscope stuff too.
Is that right? See, I know nothing about that, and that's interesting. I don't, but
I don't either. But a friend of mine pointed that out. They read the profile. And they're like, you should really look at your horoscope because there's there's a whole personality profile kind of intertwined in there. And I said, sure. So
that's awesome.
But again, what we're talking about here also is that you and I are discussing tools, so you don't have to go out and maybe right away hire a paid coach or a mentor, or maybe you hopefully do have some mentor or coach in your life, but there's tools. And maybe just listening to this one episode gives you now one or two new tools to hopefully just start taking action and digging into things and trying to figure out where you're going, what you're doing. Yeah. And if you're not happy, helping you hopefully eventually get to that state of happiness.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what happened with me, if it helps, is I kind of got to where I wanted to get to. And there was kind of I hate to say it, there was somewhat of an empty feeling of like, that's it. And the reason why I learned, you know, maybe 2 years later was because it was all focused on me. It really was. Mm. And I still remember, I don't know who it was, David Geffen. He had said, and it was about, and it wasn't even just money, but so many people say like, you know, when I have this much money, when I have this, and that's when I'll be happy. And I'll never forget. It was like a documentary and it was him on his private jet. And they zoomed and they said, they were talking about money. And he said, show me somebody who thinks that money buys happiness and I'll show you somebody that's never had money. And then they zoom out. It's him alone on his private jet. So he had it all. So it really opened my eyes to that doesn't solve it. It's not a bad thing, but when you're focused just on what your goals, once you get there, it's actually kind of empty. And professionally, that's where I was. And that's where, and that's kind of where the book came into it. Because I started writing it thinking, I figured all this stuff out. I've learned a lot. And I didn't figure it out. I learned it from all the books and all the people that have done this before me. But I had done all the research, but I was keeping it kind of to myself. So that's why I started writing. And I never thought anybody would even be interested in a book. So that's where it kind of turned around, where I was like, this has got to be something that I share and help other people with. Because I don't want to just go down like, oh, just doing this for myself and not helping others. Just like you're doing with your podcast and Michael, you're helping others by doing this.
Right. Well, you see, and this is an interesting point to really kind of target something here. You and I spoke when I was on my shuttle ride into the city, into Pittsburgh to go to dinner the other night. And I was telling you the story about a friend of mine, and maybe they listened to this, so I hope they hear it. And they called me a narcissist. Mm-hmm. And you and I got into a very deep discussion on this. And it's funny because if you go to, if you look at the definitions of self-centered or just people that are very self-focused in basic psychology, because I minored it in college. That's why I know this stuff. It's only a minor. I'm no PhD. But they talk about how there's a lot of self-centered people, not in a negative way, but not all of them are narcissistic. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important that people realize that if you're going through a period in your life where you need to focus on your self-development, do not automatically make other people think, or other people make you think that you are, you know, self-centered or a narcissist or whatever else. Like, I mean, again, as you and I talked about, like this podcast, man, I'm like, I don't know where this is going to go yet.
Yep.
And I have friends of mine like, oh, are you going to monetize it? And I'm like, maybe. I was like, because in the end, we got to pay our bills. And if I'm going to be, if I build a decent following with this show, just like you with your future book and your coaching audience that you do for business as well, like in the end, you know, we have time and we have bills to pay. So like our time is worth something. So yeah, right now the podcast, there's no monetization strategy behind it. I'm just trying to get people's voices out there like yours and hopefully get them a bit better presence out there in the online world or in general. So when your book does come out, that hopefully you can touch a broader audience and your book and your message helps others.
Yes. And what you're doing is serving others.
Right.
And be quite honest, I had a hard time with that. I came from a scarcity mentality. With my job in the newspaper world, it was not, I hate to say it, and this is not to all journalists at all, but I was very much in, what do I want to shoot? How do I want to do it? In my 20s and early 30s, that was my mentality. And it led to where it got me, which was a $32,000 a year job where I was struggling when our kid was born.
Right.
And that continued a little bit, but when I got a really great lesson, and it was only a couple of years ago, and we had done a wedding for our friend Jackie. They hired us. They became our friends. And then they hired us for their daughter's wedding, Lori. So we did her wedding, And we just became like family. We became really good friends. And our youngest son, Dylan, was born a couple months earlier. And their mom, Penny, wanted to meet Dylan. So we met up at a Panera and we met for coffee and we just talked and she held him and it was really sweet. It was just great to connect and she was looking for grandkids. And so she used him to get her baby fix and she handed me an envelope. And I was like, what's this for? Because you could tell it was a check and she didn't say anything. She just because she had paid in full. She didn't say anything about it. And I went home and I opened it up and it was a check for $1,200. And she just with a thank you for us. So I called up and said, I can't take this. I said, you already paid in full. And she goes, no. She goes, how does it? And then she said this to me. She goes, you make people happy for a living. She goes, how does that feel? And I never, ever thought of that before. Like what we did with our photography, I was doing for myself. I was doing the wedding photography in my mind for myself. I wanted to get better and better and other people wanted to hire me for it. And that's fine if they did, but I was doing it for myself. And she opened my eyes like, you made us happy with your work. Like you made us, she said, you do this for a living. And I said, I can't accept this check. And she goes, you of all people should understand that we want to give this to you. And
I think this is a struggle for a lot of entrepreneurs. And what you're discussing right now is that, we are kind of doing it to develop our own skills. There is a selfish side of that, but the flip side, which apparently she clearly opened your eyes to, which was, oh, while I'm doing that, oh, I'm also making people's lives so much better.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like that was like a key point in all of a sudden creating like a message of life balance for you.
It was phenomenal. I mean, we actually just talked a couple of weeks ago about it. We still keep in touch and she's actually read the book already. As a, you know, I have some people reading it early for just to kind of get feedback on it. And she read it because I told her, I said, you're in the book. And I don't think she was expecting that at all, which was great. But I just thanked her for the lesson that she taught me, which was, you know, really what we're doing and what I want to be doing with my work. And that's what freedom is being able to do the work that you want to do that helps other people. Because if it's just about me, it's just about building my portfolio. I'm going to be a lonely, selfish old guy with a bunch of great photographs.
Right.
And that's not who I want to be. And so it was, it's nice, you know, as you get a little bit older to keep having these lessons, you never, ever totally get it. And I guess that's becoming wiser and wiser that, you know, I'm looking forward to, as the years go on, learning more and more like this.
Well, it's kind of funny. Like, it takes people to like this woman to really open your eyes. But I mean, if I could share something with you, this just happened yesterday. A gentleman that I met through some local volunteer work that I've done. And he started listening to the podcast. And it sounds like that woman's message to you was kind of like your aha moment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I got an aha moment yesterday. And I was after you and my conversation today, I wanted to share this with you on the show since we're co-hosting this together. Because I'm not going to say who he is, but he shared the message to me. And I told him eventually I want him to bring him on the show because it meant that much to me. And I want him to help others with this message. But he basically said, hey, I just had something, you know, pretty odd that I decided I wanted to share with you, and I'm going to paraphrase here. You know, life has been crazy, and it's a crazy coincidence, if you ask me, that I'm now sending this to you. But he said, you know, I met you at the end of many years of mental and physical conflict within myself. It was an introduction back into a world that I had loved so much, and this was regarding the volunteering that we were doing together for a sport. And he said, after so many years, you know, he had missed that. And he lost it a while back due to a number of other personal reasons. You know, he had lost somebody close to him, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, fast forward, you know, he's a happy father now, raising a daughter. And what I had not known through us meeting was he also had battled some bouts of depression and like apparently some pretty severe depression, but I had no clue because I don't know him that well. And he's telling me this in this text message. And I'm like, is this really happening right now?
Wow.
And I mean, the transparency and the confidence to share that with me was profound. And anyway, long story short, he fast forwards to the end here. He said, listen, starting to listen to your podcast and now others that I've heard from you and others, he's like, this has oddly fallen perfectly in line with just about everything that I need to hear right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm more amped up than ever and appreciate what you do.
Wow.
And I was like, what?
This is, how cool is that?
I had chills reading the message, and I'm like, I had no idea, like, you know, that was going on in his life. And I mean, I don't even have episode 10 up yet online.
Yeah.
I'm like, is that how powerful this is? I don't know. I mean, I'm figuring, and this, so I wanted to share this with you because I know you eventually, once you have the book out, you're considering getting a podcast going.
Yes.
And I was like, man, is this what we might get? Like, is this the impact that we could potentially have with our voices?
What's amazing is how many people that have impacted my life in such positive ways that don't know it through the books that they've written and the podcast and just even just comments or thoughts or things that they've learned that they just, it's normal to them. I listen to it and I go, oh my goodness, that just changed my life right there.
Yeah.
There's like, I could list 100 examples right now and they don't know it. I actually was really fortunate. Elizabeth and I followed the Dave Ramsey plan. And that's a little bit of what I write about in terms of when we started our business, we had followed his plan. And with our extra business income, we paid off all of our debt. And it freed us up. And that's what the whole idea of the book is. But Dave Ramsey actually hired us for a photo event about 2 years ago in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
And so he's like my financial guru. And I literally, when they hired us, sat down and wrote a 3-page thank you letter to him for what he's done for our family. Now he gets millions of, you know, calls and emails of praise, but very few people get to hand him a thank you card in person. And after we had finished the shoot and everything went really quickly, you know, it was about an hour shoot and he headed towards the elevator and I looked at my wife and she says, go. So I ran over and I met him right by the elevator and I handed him the thank you card, the note that I wrote him. And it just felt really fantastic to be able to do that because I actually got to in person
hand deliver it
to, you know, financially the guy that changed our life by following his advice. And to be able to do that was really such a great feeling.
Did you ever get any feedback from him?
I didn't. No, and I wasn't, you know, you kind of would hope. I mean, I can't even imagine.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. Just
no, he's traveling. I can't even imagine the amount of stuff he gets like that all daily. And that means you're making an incredible impact in the world if you're getting that much, you know.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, it was just a phenomenal feeling to be able to just do that and say, I did. I handed it to him. I thanked him because.
But you see, how powerful is it that one day the book that you launch, that comes full circle, and somebody else comes up and says the same thing to you.
You know, I couldn't even imagine it, but what's really weird that you asked that, Thomas, a friend of mine that's in a mastermind group with me, I sent him the book, and he's getting married tomorrow. Today, Friday. No, he's getting married tomorrow in New York. And I sent him the book, and he started reading it about a week ago, and I got a text from him, said, you just, literally, no joke, I could send it to you, he said, your book just saved my marriage before it even started. And I said, what do you mean? And he sent me a text conversation between him and his wife and something that he read in my book. He got a light bulb moment and he sent it and he sent the idea to his wife and she texted back and she was like, who is this? Like, I've been saying this for years and you always make fun of me about it. And I hated you for it. And he was like, I'm sorry. He apologized. He said night and day. In terms of their relationship, what has happened since then?
Wow.
So I'm like, holy, and it hasn't even been out yet.
Well, and that's the crazy thing. We don't know what our words, what our discussions are going to trigger in some people. I mean, hopefully people get something out of this episode and just hearing your story today and what and the trials and tribulations that you've had to go through from, you know, a low-paying job to starting a family to trying to become an entrepreneur to trying to find your path, trying to find your success with your wife and yourself to have a more balanced lifestyle. Oh yeah, and then along the way, potentially impacting others with a book that hasn't even come out yet. I mean, this is just it's wild. This is cool.
It's hard to comprehend. It really is, and you know, it really is. But it's so much fun and. To ever have impact like Dave Ramsey or Dan Miller or all these guys have had on me, to do anything like that for somebody else, that's where you kind of really just feel totally fulfilled in your work. I love my photography career, but it feels different. It really does.
So we've been talking a lot about your story and everything else, but obviously we're going to have to bring this to an end here soon. But I think it's important. Have you done anything from a branding perspective yet for us to kind of track this online? Besides, obviously, your website, ElizabethVincentPhotography.com, is your core business. And I know you're all over social media. So if people want to be able to start following you to get ready for this book launch, you know, in 2017, what's the best way to kind of stay in touch and kind of, I don't know, stalk you a little bit?
Yeah, we honestly haven't done much because it's been so quick. We did put up a landing page for the book for people to sign up if they want to be part of the pre-launch team or if they want to eventually pre-order it. So that is freelancetofreedombook.com. That's the landing. It's a very simple page just to be able to connect. Vinny Pug Photo. Michael O'Neill actually came up with my tag on Instagram.
I like
he changed
that.
It from my last name because nobody can spell it. He said, you can't do that. So that was literally 2 weeks ago. That's my Instagram account. And so I'm not that active on social media, to be honest with you. It's changing a little bit.
You will. Type of,
I will, yeah. I am. If somebody's looking for
or
me
or you
on
outsource
media,
it.
Yeah, I don't know. But it's type of thing where, yeah, I mean, they could email us from our business website. I just love hearing from people that are going through this.
And again, so the new website to start following and tracking the book, that's going to be freelancetofreedom.com?
Freelancetofreedombook.com.
Oh, book, sorry. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah, because I obviously need to be tracking you as well. I'm already connected with you on a lot of social media, but I wanted to make sure that we were at least staying in touch with you. So
yeah, and somebody you know want to connect, they can find me on Facebook and just friend me there. That's cool.
Yes. And again, guys, his last name is Puglisi. So it just Puglise.
And you nailed it twice.
Yes. Well, and it's been a whole episode and I haven't forgotten it now.
<That's>
so your coaching apparently works.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Well, again, this has been powerful. I would say I'd like to have my guests and my co-hosts like yourself really leave the episode and leave the audience just with what you feel should be a powerful message. And we've already shared a lot of tips and tricks and stories along the way, but what would be a closing note that you'd want listeners to be able to take away from today?
I think that's a great question. I think what you had said earlier was to not stop doing, because I think that really does, it is a big problem. When you talk to anybody and their regrets, they always had something they wanted to do and somehow they stopped. And that was the one thing that really got us, is we had a drive to do something. And even through the tough times, even through, you know, money or whatever it was, you keep going. And it doesn't have to, don't get overwhelmed by it. You, one step at a time, you know, be better than yesterday. That was the phrase we kept saying to ourselves all the time, was just be better than yesterday. Because if you could do that, you never get overwhelmed and you keep moving forward.
Day by day, I like that. Well, guys, ladies and gentlemen, this is Vincent Puglisi. And his, again, if you have not gone to his new book yet, go to freelancetofreedombook.com. And I'm on it right now. So I'll make sure that we're on the list. I'll make sure that goes into the show notes along with your other ways to connect with you guys and make sure we stay in touch with you, Vincent. So thanks for coming on the show today. This has been awesome. I hope you got something out of it as well.
That's great. Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been powerful. So again, ladies and gentlemen, that's another Live the Fuel show. I hope you got a ton out of today's episode with Vincent. And again, if you guys are listening in and listening to every single episode, we appreciate your time. Make sure you get out there and give a listen. And also make sure you get a review on iTunes. We really appreciate getting some show reviews because we are new. We're trying to get our message out there. And I'll do a little shout out to my friends over at Eva.fm, EVA.fm. They are our wonderful behind the scenes virtual assistants from the UK. Martin, you are the man. So again, guys, that's Live the Fuel show. Thanks for listening in. Stay tuned to the next time. And we'll talk to you guys again soon. Keep living the fired up, epic life.
Thank you for listening to Live the Fuel. Visit us at livethefuel.com. Stay connected on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and more at Live the Fuel. Live the fired up, epic life. Hashtag Live the Fuel.